Hello, and welcome to Mr. Marr's History Podcast. Google Mr. Marr History to get more help with Nationals Higher and Advanced Higher History. In this episode, we are going to discuss the Weimar Republic, specifically the key features of the new Weimar Constitution, which was established in 1919, and also examine the reasons that the Weimar Republic faced problems. At the end of World War I, a different type of German government was needed. This new system would be known as the Weimar Republic. After the Kaiser's abdication, Germany was going to move to a very different type of governance. A group of experts and politicians met in the German town of Weimar, and it was here that they designed a proposed new constitution for the country, and this is obviously from where we get the title Weimar. This new constitution was to be split into two parts. Part 1 dealt largely with the German system of government, and Part 2 dealt with the civil rights that all Germans would have. It was formally introduced to Germany in August 1919. The first part of the constitution looked at Germany's government. The country was now to be a republic, meaning that there would be no monarchy, and this meant that the people would vote for their governor. All Germans, and this is men and women, who were aged 20 plus, had the right to vote to choose members of the Reichstag, which was the national parliament. And people aged 35 plus, again both men and women, were also able to vote for the country's president. These elections were due to take place every 7 years. The Reichstag had significant powers. It could pass laws in Germany, and in addition it could decide how money was spent through budgets. It also had the ability to remove members of the government, such as the Chancellor, from their jobs. Reichstag elections were operated using a system known as proportional representation. This means that parties would get numbers in the Reichstag based on the number of votes that they got. Proportional representation was very helpful to small parties as it allowed them to get represented where other political systems, such as first-past-the-post that was used in Britain, would have prevented this. The president of Weimar Germany had significant powers and influence. He would have the power to appoint members of the government, including the Chancellor, and he could also dissolve the Reichstag and call new national elections. Perhaps the most significant power that the president had was that of Article 48. This meant that he was allowed to pass laws without Reichstag approval in an emergency, although there was often a debate around what constituted an emergency situation. The second part of the Weimar Constitution looked at the civil rights that were to be given to all Germans. There were numerous examples of this. As well as being able to vote, Germans were also to be free to choose their own religion, or none, without any government interference. Germans were also to be given free speech. This meant that they had the right to protest and to criticise their governments. And linked into this, they could also choose to join or set up any group that would espouse such views, as long as that group did not in fact break criminal law. Germans were also to be entitled to privacy. Other significant elements of the rights that were given under the Weimar Constitution included the ability to get a primary education, and free education also being available up to the age of 18. And also significantly, Germans were to be treated equally, regardless of their gender. This included in terms of jobs such as in the civil service. There's a big debate around Weimar and whether or not it was in fact a genuine and successful democracy. It's certainly true that the Weimar system of government was very different from that which existed under the Kaiser. Some people would therefore argue that this was a genuine democracy, but others would disagree. In either way, it was certainly true that Weimar faced a variety of problems. There were different arguments supporting the view that it was a democracy. The obvious one was that all Germans, men and women, were to be given an equal vote, and the Reichstag, the national parliament that made the laws, and the president, as head of state of the country, were both to be elected. All of this supports the idea of a democracy. In addition, the use of proportional representation meant that small parties could be elected, meaning that more voices were to be heard. And the fact that various rights were guaranteed under law meant that it can be argued Germany was both fair and democratic. However, there were also problems with this idea. For one thing, voting rights were not completely equal. Although all men and women aged 20 plus had the ability to vote for the Reichstag, this was not the case for the president, where you had to be 35 or older. In addition, the government of Germany was not in fact voted by the people, but was instead appointed by the president. And finally, again linked to the president, the fact that the president could pass laws without Reichstag support again undermined the idea that the people were making all the decisions in their country. There were further problems as well. One problem with the system of using proportional representation was that although it allowed smaller parties to be elected, it meant that no one ever won a majority. Throughout the years of Weimar, this led to continual coalitions that would often fall apart because the different political parties could not agree on what should happen. Many Germans grew disillusioned by the political system through its inability to make decisions or take action. In addition, making it easier for small parties to get elected was democratic and allowed more people's views to be represented. But it also meant that extremist parties, such as the Nazis or the Communist parties, were more likely to be elected. In particular, the Nazis came from a very, very small background to build a national profile using the small number of people they had elected to the Reichstag. Many Germans ultimately did not trust this new democratic system. Some of them blamed the Weimar Republic, or at least the politicians involved in it, for the war defeat and for the signing of the Treaty of Versailles. And as a result, they wanted the return of the Kaiser. However, in contrast to this, many people believed, in fact, that the country was still not democratic enough and wanted to see further changes to allow ordinary people to influence Germany.